following is a live production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network and Real Talk 93.3. Fire up your grills. It's time for Tallahassee Game Day on WarChant TV and Real Talk 93.3.
That pass is intercepted to the delight of all Seminole fans. The pick six.
WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang bring you the latest news, updates, and analysis around the FSU program ahead of today's kickoff on Bobby Bowden Field.
Second and three. Patient and explosive. And a touchdown for the Noles.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Zaxby's, indescribably good. Now live from Florida's capital city, here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron.
Today's sideline report is brought to you by Bud Light. Tallahassee Noles, take note. This one's for you, announcing the Bud Light Sideline Experience Contest. If you're a Noel in Tallahassee, text Bud Light Fan to 31996. That's Bud Light Fan, all one word, to 31996. If you're the lucky winner, you score two sideline passes, hospitality passes, and fan gear for the FSU-Miami game on November the 13th. Must be 21 years of age or older in order to enter. Let's go to it now. It's our own Irashfell, WarChant.com. Hello, Ira.
How you doing, Jeff? How's it going?
I'm great, buddy. Happy game day. You, of all of the WarChant staff members, are at the most practices, I would say most consistently. You're our rep every practice. How have they looked coming off the North Carolina game? I know you got to speak in generalities to some degree, but how has the team practiced, do you think, coming off that win, going through the bye week? I know Norvell complained a little bit about a lack of consistency or focus. What are your thoughts about what you've seen as we go into this game against UMass?
Now, you know, I really do think they've practiced well. You know, and Mike Norvell, a couple of days this past week, has, you know, come out and kind of challenged guys to be even better. But I think that's some more individual cases. That's, you know, a pocket of, you know, a couple guys here, one guy there. Maybe not executing well, not being totally focused, not doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But overall, to me, it looks like a different football team this last week or two compared to the team earlier this season, especially after the losses earlier this season. You know, not just the energy, but, you know, the focus, attention to detail, not having to do things be corrected as much. You know, I think it's been a really good couple of weeks. And, you know, as all good coaches do, you know, Mike Norvell is finding ways to push even further. But I think it's been a really good couple of weeks of practice.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, that North Carolina game, kind of eureka moment. We saw them, and they played well, and they really dominated that game after the first quarter. And I was interested to see, would they carry this over? And I was interested to see, would they be emboldened? Sounds like they are. It sounds like they believe again that they can go out and win football games. I am curious your thoughts, your opinions on what we see today. Obviously, Florida State heavily favored, should win this football game. That doesn't seem to be in question. But do we, if let's say that happens and Florida State gets out to a big lead early, is it Chuba Purdy the first off the bench?
It's a good question. I think it looks like it's still McKenzie Milton on the depth chart. I really think it's going to be depending on situations. I think the rest of the season is going to depend on situations. You know, I don't know that McKenzie needs reps at this point, but I think in a game where you need somebody to come in and manage it and handle really a tough situation, I think McKenzie's probably the guy. But if the game's in hand, if Jordan's played well and they're up by four scores, you know, I don't know. I think it's more beneficial for this team that Chuba Purdy gets reps than it does McKenzie. So that's still up in the air. They haven't given us any indication. But my guess is if the game's in hand, maybe you give McKenzie a series or two. But I think it's more likely to give Chuba Purdy some work because, you know, they're encouraged by what they're seeing from him, but they have to see him do it in some games because he may get called upon later this season.
Yeah, we know with Jordan Travis's injury history that you're a play away. And knock on wood, that doesn't happen. Jordan looked so comfortable, Ira, in that game against North Carolina. Best we've ever seen him look. I wondered today, too, when Tom and I talked in the first hour, do you lean into your identity, which is a lot of that read option stuff, which he executes exceptionally well, in turn that opens up some shot plays and a little bit in the passing game, or do you, even though we know it was a mistake to treat the Jacksonville State game like a glorified scrimmage, do you try to add elements in the passing game because you could probably block it up today? You could probably have a clean pocket. Or do you just kind of further embolden and ingrain that read option stuff and say, this is just who we are. If we're going to add a lot of passing elements to this playbook, we're going to have to do it in the offseason.
Yeah, if he asked me, I would encourage him to do the latter. Because I do think this is a team that they are more confident right now. They are more, they do believe more. They're feeling good about themselves. But man, I don't know how solid that is if you go out and start struggling for a quarter or two quarters, even against UMass. Those doubts start to creep in and everything else. I do whatever Jordan Travis is in a great place right now. This last 2 weeks of practice, he's a different guy. I mean, he's going up and down the lines, you know, encouraging teammates, being a leader, not just worrying about himself. You can just see the energy, the way he carries himself. I mean, it's his team now, and that's how he carries himself. And I think you want to do anything you can to kind of continue that confidence. So to me, it's do what Jordan Travis does well, build things around him, let him continue to feel good about himself going into next week. I don't think you need to worry about putting anything on film for Clemson. I think your best bet to have success there is to go in there feeling really, really good about yourself. And the way to do that is to keep doing what makes him confident.
You mentioned that this was the best couple of weeks of practice you've seen from this team, both from a confidence standpoint and obviously execution. Talk quickly about the offensive line. That bye week was critical. Are we a good full go here today with, at the very least, that starting five?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely the tackles. I mean, Robert Scott and Darius Washington have looked really good. Robert Scott looks like himself again, I think, and that's the point. You know, I think Tom's made a couple times about him getting the start at left tackle. And, he looks like himself again. I think Dylan Gibbons looks good. Maurice Smith is going to be the one I think is touch and go all season. But the fact that he played that last game every snap is encouraging. They are limiting in some of practice, but I think that's just precautionary. But, yeah, I think that offensive line's in good shape, and I think you'll see them at least the whole first half today.
Yeah, that team with that group intact can actually run the ball, I think, against most teams. The way the offense is called, the way it's set up, I really think they can. And you really can see an appreciable difference when those three guys that have all missed time, you know, tackle, center, tackle, when you see those three guys able to play together, Florida State actually wins the line of scrimmage, moves people off the ball. And that's not something we've seen around here with any degree of consistency. So it's good news to hear those guys are healthy and ready to give it a go again this weekend. I know that we often use on warchat.com the PFF numbers. You know who else has played really well? And Tom and I talked about the first hour. Dylan Gibbons, it looks like he's emerging now as the guy. And the reason that's a big deal is because you'll have him next year as well.
Yeah, and that was, it was kind of a question mark. I mean, I think we thought that because he had been at Notre Dame, had been in that system, had played there, been in that, competing against those guys in that offensive line room for 3 or 4 years would do wonders for him. But, he really hadn't played a ton, so you didn't know. But I think what we're seeing now is now that he is playing more, he's getting more game reps and he's getting better and better. I mean, I think he's exceeded their expectations. I mean, in a lot of ways, but particularly on the field. I mean, he's athletic enough to pull. He's physical in the run game. Yeah, man, he's been a huge boost to them. And again, that, guard wasn't their biggest position of need. They have some guys that have played a lot of guard, but they haven't had a lot of guys that played guard at a high level, and he's playing at a pretty high level.
Chishon Corbin banged up in the North Carolina game. What's his status for today? Is he good to go?
My guess is he'll play, but I think they're really limiting him because they feel so good about, Trayshawn Ward and Lawrence Toffoli. I think they want to get Lawrence Toffoli some more touches. So my guess is they'll probably limit Jayshon a little bit, maybe give him some reps, but go to the other guys and get, and that is a position where I think you may be, because you've got Clemson up ahead, that's a position where you feel good about the other running backs. I would limit him a little bit. He's been limited in practice. So I wouldn't expect a big dose of Jayshon Corbin today. It wouldn't surprise me if he played some.
Defensively, I guess just a quick overview as we get caught up on the relative health, and I know you can't get too specific, but I know that everybody seemed to check out. This was a really good week, and everybody was ready to go. So are we healthy on the defensive side as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really think, and most importantly, I think, that defense front, which has been the anchor of this defense, has been really good and been consistent, and available, which has been big. But really, I think the big thing is the last few weeks now, the secondary, I think they've kind of zeroed in on a group of five starters that they feel good about. And so, and those guys all seem to be healthy. There's still, a couple guys are still been nursing injuries, Brendan Gant, Renardo Green, they're still coming back from things. But I think right now they like that other five. I think they really like Jamie Robinson at safety and Kevin Knowles, the freshman at nickelback. And you want to see Jarian Jones put together a nice, he's had two pretty solid games against teams that didn't throw the ball well, but you want to see him put together a really, North Carolina throws the ball well, but they don't attack the corners very much. They're much more focused on the slot and in the middle of the field. So, another opportunity for him to show that this is who he is. Because if Jarvis Brownlee is playing his level, and if Jarvin Jones continues to make that progress, I mean, that secondary, I think you feel a little bit better about it.
I always appreciate the insight, buddy. Be well, and enjoy covering the game.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, take care. That's Ira Shaffel, warchant.com. That was the Sideline Report brought to you by Bud Light. Appreciate that. Always remind you to text 31996. You could be, you got to text Bud Light Fan. Bud Light Fan, all one word, to 31996 in order to have an opportunity to win a little Sideline Pass, hospitality, all that good stuff.
For that Miami game, man, and that's another one. It looks like the bookends to this schedule this season at home are going to be raucous atmospheres because we've got expectations now about getting off the schneid against our rival. Of course, today is the first matter at hand, but if you're talking about Sideline Passes for any game this season and it's not the Notre Dame one, then certainly you would want them for Miami. So that's why you should text that number.
Pre-game, post-game, or no game at all, anytime is the right time for Zaxby's Platters. Feed your team of 12 to 14 with your choice of traditional or buffalo fingers or boneless or traditional wings. If you're having trouble deciding, get the best of both worlds with the sampler platter. That's what we have here in the studio. Don't forget that world-famous sauce as well. Satisfy your chicken craving today with Zaxby's Platters. Order online or through the app. Tallahassee Zaxby's, a proud Seminole booster for over 15 years. More Tallahassee Game Day in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
It's a wide open ACC race, by the way, for the first time in ages. I mean, you can't say that any of the last 6 years or so. It's wide open, maybe going back before that. And so you look at that, Clemson at number 23 Pitt, 3:30 today on ESPN, number 18 NC State at Miami tonight at 7:30 p.m. ESPN2. I even think that to some degree, it's not a game I'm going to be locked in on, but Georgia Tech, Virginia should be a wide open affair on the ACC network tonight at 7:30. So if that's your cup of tea, but
it is not, sir.
No, not mine either. Probably find a different game, but it's wide open when you look at the battles here. This is kind of fun. I mean, you got an interesting ACC. If you're gonna go by the FPI, ESPN's FPI, you can look at a lot of numbers. You can look at SP Plus, all that stuff. You have five teams in this conference with a chance to win it as we sit here at this point in the season. That's pretty crazy. Normally, you don't have anything close to that.
Here we go, man. Going to run the table. Let's go. Let's make it interesting for the Atlantic.
We're not on that list, at least not according to FPI. So
you'd actually need a Miami win tonight to spell NC State a little bit, and then you'd need Wake Forest to fall, to pieces. But, yeah, the Atlantic in general is pulling a Coastal this year. We lament the Coastal every year. It's like, who the hell wants to win that thing?
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like the clear front runners are Pitt, and then on the other side, it's Wake Forest and NC State, and that's going to be the battle.
Yeah, NC State, Clemson, Wake Forest, all right there. And then you got the outside chance still in this conference of if Virginia were to run the table, they're in it too. So
Wake also going non-conference today as they play Army.
Army. Look forward to that game.
It's an interesting
actually.
Noon kick.
It's amazing when you become a football fan what you can sit and watch and find interesting. Because somehow Wake Army sounds really interesting to me, and most people be like, what? You want to watch Wake Army?
Well, there's something you love, black and gold. That's what that is.
I think it may
be a whole lot of black and gold on the field today.
Yeah, I think that's true. I look at Clemson's defense in this matchup today, and I'm thinking about the fact that they're third S&P Plus. They've been incredible defensively, but it gets overshadowed by just how impotent their offense has been. And you're going against an offensive, dare I say, juggernaut in Pitt today. They're averaging over 48 points a game.
What I found interesting, though, about last Friday's game against Syracuse, everybody watched that game.
Yeah.
Everybody in the ACC was like, ooh, we're going to kick them while they're down.
Yeah.
Was that Syracuse was able to devise up runs for bigger chunks against Clemson than they did against Florida State. And that sounds strange because you would say 14 points of output versus 30. How couldn't they have done more? Now Garrett Schrader ran the ball on us, but Sean Tucker didn't until the second half, as we had worn down. But if you're talking about between the 20s, Syracuse is able to devise a thing or two against that Clemson front seven, even with the linebackers back for them, including Skalski. I found that interesting and took note because what are we going
to
try and do?
I was just about to say, that makes me smile a little
right.
bit. Like, okay.
Now, Garrett Schrader.
There's a chance.
Garrett Schrader could stand in that studio over there, and we'd say, just hit that far wall with all the flags on it.
That. He'd struggle with
and
that.
And he'd hit the logo behind you.
Yeah.
He'd hit the radio microphone behind you.
Not a real accurate pass.
That's what held them back in that particular situation. But, okay, I've seen. Now, if Pitt continues that trend today, and you see a couple of big gainers on the ground, not with Pickett's arm, all right, buddy, this could get fun next week. But first things first, take care of UMass, and then we can watch that game at 3:30.
Pretty crazy. You mentioned the Demon Deacons are 6-0 for the second time in program history. The first time since 1944, Tom, that they've been 6-0. Wake Forest out of conference against Army. That's also at noon. They lead the league and rank 6th in the country in turnover margin, by the way.
Of course they do.
Of course they do, right. They've done.
The interesting thing, and listen, I'll be in the minority on this, but I thought the Wake game, even with the injuries to the offensive line, was winnable for us. And you could point to the two critical calls that were missed by the officials as maybe a turning point. I just say you should be able to run the ball. And then what was interesting about that game is Wake typically is penalized 3 or 4 times, and they win the turnover margin by a ton. And we did turn the ball over 6 times, so that checked the box there for Wake. But that was not the most disciplined Wake Forest team that I've seen. Not by a long shot.
And
they made a lot of mistakes.
And yet here they sit,
buddy. Yet here they are.
Yeah. No, it's a weird year. And it's not just this conference. I mean, you look around, it's the Big Ten, you know, got shook up pretty early on. It looks like it's coming back into at the end of the day, we think Ohio State's still going to win that conference.
That Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan triumvirate is going to be very interesting down the stretch because none of them have played each other. I believe next week is Michigan, Michigan State.
Look forward to it, actually. Yeah, should be a fun game. Oklahoma State, Iowa State today out of the Big 12 as we just kind of do a quick survey around the country. It's not the best slate, as you can hear. It's a reach today to try to find a whole bunch of interesting games. But, you know, you like defensive football and you like two teams that can run the ball. Jalen Warren is fun to watch run the ball. He's been great. He's averaging 32 carries a game, 165 yards. I mean, he's a legit back. Oklahoma State, Iowa State will be physical. If you like that kind of, it's 3:30 today. Get out of Doak after a big win for the Noles and settle in somewhere to watch a little Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
Man, I'll tell you, the game that I'm circling today is the ACC. It's NC State, Miami, because you're scouting for the future.
Well, Clemson, I'm also scouting an ass kicking.
Clemson and Pitt after that. I hope so. I'm with you on that. We both have interest in the same way
in
that particular result. Not just because we don't like the Miami Hurricanes. But then I think at this point in the season, after what we've seen through almost 2 full months of college football, it's just have the remote ready because something weird's going to happen. So be on alert. Maybe you got to go find CBS Sports Network. Maybe you got to go find FS1. Whatever channel it is, something weird is going to happen today. Something unexpected. Because that has been the norm this season. And that's why this season has been so much fun. It's chaos. If you're a fan of chaos when we're not involved in the college football playoff discussion, you're getting everything you want. You could have Oklahoma State and Cincinnati in the college football playoff this season.
Oof.
How bizarre would that be?
Yeah, it'd be shocking. It would be shocking. If Oklahoma State were to get there, that would be stunning to me. I watch them play their offense. They run the ball. They play very good defense. But, man, there is a whole lot lacking in that group. If they find their way to navigate the rest of this, a
couple of batted balls in the line of scrimmage in Bedlam, they win the rematch. Like, let's say Michigan State wins the big games they need to. So you could have Oklahoma State, Michigan State, Cincinnati, and Georgia in the playoff. I don't know. That's not out of the realm of possibility. That's where we are this season.
Yeah, I'll be curious. It's a weird year. I'm actually interested in UCLA, Oregon. I said that too. If we get out to the Pac-12, a couple games there. I also think Notre Dame is going to beat Southern Cal today pretty convincingly. Not a great Notre Dame team. You know, I've thought that before. But that Southern Cal team's a mess. When you watch them, it's so weird. I wonder if people do that with us. Because, you know, you see Southern Cal, you see the helmet.
Oh, definitely.
You see the uniform. Well, what I mean by that is just even though you know, intellectually, you see the record, you know it's not good. But then if you turn the game on and you see the uniform, it's hard to reconcile that. You're just like, God, why are you this bad? I bet people look at FSU's helmets and go, what happened to that program?
Yeah, there's going to be a trailing effect to that, too, where it's, you know, a year or two from now, we creep back up into the top 25, and we're 17th or 18th in the country, and you hear a bunch of national pundits saying, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Florida State hasn't been good in a long time. Like, there's going to be that lag effect. I just want to get to that place where people discount us because we haven't been any good for years.
Well, yeah, I'd like them to have the argument. That'd be great. You guys bicker amongst each other. Well, also, the national media, and it's not their fault, are always behind the people that cover the teams locally. So the second that we see some semblance of evidence or structure or something of a step forward for this program, it may very well continue to be this week into next and into next. We'll see. We're going to identify and ring the bell for our group, right, because we know what that looks like. Oh, the steps are being taken. We're getting there. But that will be, you talk about a trailing effect. They won't, I mean, they're not, Florida State's unranked and, you know, they got two wins. No, right. Nobody's paying attention.
Exactly. We're still 2-4. We sound awfully positive for a 2-4 football program, but that's what a couple wins in a row and a bye week will do for you, especially when everybody else on the slate the rest of the season looks mortal. What a difference.
Do you have a sense, final thing, and we'll move on and get back to our game specifically. You have a sense at all for that Boston College at Louisville game?
That number seems awfully low because it's been bet closer to a push.
Yeah.
It was at 6.5. I think it was down to 5.5.
It's weird.
I don't know if there are COVID concerns.
I'm not
some
touching
kind?
The game. I mean, those two teams.
It's in Louisville, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'd run for the hills. I'm not. I wouldn't want to watch that game per se. It's not a game that I get a good sense of.
I got a feeling, man, just looking at Boston College, like, you see the win total. I'm looking at the teams they play.
I don't think they're very good.
Why was America shocked that, and why did the Bear pick Boston College? That keeps bothering me.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Do people just not have NC State and Boston College figured out at this point?
NC State threw people a curveball when they fooled around and looked awful against Mississippi State.
Yep. That's the last time people watched that. That's probably what it is.
That loss caused people to say, that's it, I'm off of NC State. And it turns out that game, to me, was the NC State outlier. I thought they'd be a good team coming into the year. They've got a lot of veteran leadership. They're big up front on the offensive and defensive lines. They got a bruising back, a talented quarterback. Now, I won't say they're well coached. We know that situation.
Right, right.
But
he can rise up and beat himself.
Yes, he can. But they have, see the Mississippi State game, but they have weapons. They have ability, and they have depth. I think they're a good team. I think they're probably the best team in the ACC.
There's a simplicity to what they do.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, it's straight ahead. Yeah, it is straight ahead. Tallahassee Game Day continues in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Today's defensive keys to the game are brought to you by Zaxby's. No matter the result on the field, you're always a winner when you stop at Tallahassee area Zaxby's for the best chicken fingers. Signature salad or chicken sandwich today. Support those who support local businesses and FSU. That's been Zaxby's way of doing business for over 15 years. defensive keys, okay. This is not a team that does much well. UMass, that is. One of the things they do, because they struggle to protect the quarterback, is try to get the ball out of the kid's hands quickly. It's a weird sort of chuck and duck offense when you watch them. There's a little bit of talent in the backfield at running back. He's probably their best offensive player. When you see their offense, you don't have anything that you can hang your hat on. I would say they will challenge you down the field. They will attempt it. I mean, they're not highly successful. You look at success rates on offense and defense. It's not a lot to write home about. They're really bad. Offensively, if you want to know a number that will jump out at you as I look here at these stats, they are as bad as you can be, quite literally, on third down. They're last in the country. So that's not an opinion. They're last in the country.
Yeah, I'd say for the defense today, it's just reward the continuity that Ira was talking about at the top of the hour. In the secondary, they found some guys that they like and in certain positions that they feel very confident that they can execute at a high level. This is something that Adam Fuller said in the preseason. We need to carve out roles. I'm done talking about, you know, the cross training and these guys are position flexible.
This is what you do.
Yeah. I need guys to step up and take command of what they're doing. So let's see communication. Like one of the easiest ways that you can see that the chemistry is growing and the continuity is being, you know, it's setting in and taking hold is pre-snap. If there are adjustments that need to be made between a safety and a corner or the nickelback and Kevin Knowles and a safety, you got rotations and movement before the snap. The way they handle those things and they pass things off, That is a good indicator of how comfortable you are playing defense. The one thing that we saw, it wasn't just Jordan Travis, who looked very prepared for everything that he was going to see against North Carolina. That defense looked prepared for what Sam Howell and the Tar Heel offense was going to bring to him. Even at that 10-0 margin, if you think about it, that touchdown pass is a low percentage pass, really good throw, really good catch by Josh Downs.
Back in the end zone, great catch.
Coverage is pretty good. Is it perfect? No. Is there a bit of a bust? Maybe a false step or two? Yes. But you force a much more difficult throw than we were seeing in the first few weeks of the season when there were coverage busts left and right between the hashes. So I want to see that particular part of the game, communication level.
You're talking about something that's important here because, again, even against bad teams, you can find out whether or not you're coordinated, organized, disciplined, all those things. You can find that out sometimes more in these types of games than in other games because you have to be. You have to be your own motivation. So one of the things that I'm interested about here is that they have found some cohesion in that secondary. Ira mentioned it. You just alluded to it. Do you see it again today? They competed on the football. I mean, this was like the ball was in the air. Guys got their heads around. They were in position. They trusted that they were in position. One of the reasons that defensive backs, especially when they're struggling, won't make a play on the football is they stay in phase and they will not come out because they are scared to death that a guy's going to run by them because they've been burnt so many times before or they have failed in those moments. And one of the things, you can't make a play on the ball if you're not in position, but getting in position, your great reward is to make the play. Now, it's the hard work is to flip your hips and get inside the pocket and go.
Right.
And to not let a guy stack you and do those things. When you're in position, now your grand reward, you've done all the hard work. Catch the ball. Make a play. And we finally saw it. It happened in that game against North Carolina with the interception. But there were also three or four balls that were competed for in phase. Guys got their head around and made a play on the ball.
Yeah, the thing, that catch by Jarian Jones, it's a throw to the end zone. It's an ill-advised throw. The other teams are allowed to do that. They are allowed to make poor decisions, and you're allowed to put them in position to make questionable decisions. That's a big play in the 35-7 run.
It's huge, yeah.
Because North Carolina's about to answer score for score, and then I think we're off to the races where both teams are scoring in the upper 30s, and it looks like a shootout.
But alas,
that's what happens when you go make a play and change the tenor of the game. Next thing you know, you score a touchdown ourselves, and we're feeling pretty good. But those 50-50 plays are things that we just haven't seen. Go back to the Notre Dame game. You make one 50-50 play on a Jack Cohn throw, right, where Travis Jay gets turned around in that situation. That's a desperation third down throw, even if you bat it down.
Yeah, just make a play. Don't let the guy catch it. Right.
Look back at that game and how close the margin was.
Oh,
that
sure
might be the difference. And we make that play in this situation against North Carolina. Now, again, I get that UMass is no good, but we haven't been able to play well and consistently against air for most of the last three or four seasons. So go ahead and show that you're capable of handling this challenge. And all that's going to do is increase your confidence as we get on the plane next week to go up to Clemson.
Yeah, and they're struggling to throw the football at all. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I can't help it with that offense and watching them. They are really play well today, take care of business, continue to gain confidence. You're exactly right, Tom, because one team that isn't in that scenario gaining confidence is Clemson.
Right.
I mean, they've struggled with that offense, and the quarterback continues to refuse to run. If he doesn't run today and they struggle in the passing game, Tom, we're going to have giddy shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I mean, because there's going to be a belief that it's possible. I'm not there yet.
Wow.
I'm not there yet. But that's going to, you're going to start talking very differently. It'll be interesting.
It's very possible already. I know you don't want to come around to
no,
it.
No. Of course it is possible. I shouldn't word it that way. It's too extreme. I think it's unlikely. But yes, it'll become even more possible. It'll become even more likely.
Right.
Is a better way of saying it.
Right. Yeah. You're looking for more dysfunction, the 3:30 window. And that's where we get to smile because could it be? Just allow yourself to dream. That's why this is a fun week, even though it's UMass and there's not a whole lot that you can do breaking down UMass's too deep in order to garner insights about how today is going to go.
No.
You're allowing yourself to believe, okay, we might have bottomed out. Like, we've asked ourselves that question several times as Florida State fans over the last three, four seasons. Is this bottom for us? Is this the bottom? Because I remember 2009. That's what I was telling myself. I remember, barely making a bowl in Bobby's final year in the pro combat day where E.J. Manuel saved our bacon and allowed us to play West Virginia in the Gator Bowl. I remember that. Is it going to be worse than that? The answer has been yes and yes and yes. It can get worse. Well, maybe we've bottomed out and we can let the dysfunction cloud hang over somebody else's program for a damn change. That would be nice.
It jumps around. Typically it does. We know that. And I think, having to endure that, there's no you're not going to get lower than Jacksonville State. So the answer to your question was whether or not we bottomed out. We did.
Today would be, but yeah.
This is a game that if they were to lose, I'd be done. I don't mean leave the profession. I'd be done with this group. That's how bad this team is. Now, that doesn't mean I think we're going to win 63-0. I don't get caught up in score. I mean, yes, sometimes the score...
Well, it can't be 27-24, right?
Correct. Yes, you don't have to kick a last-second field goal to beat UMass. That'd be problematic. Agreed. But I'm not worried. Like, if it's 56-21, people are like, 21 is too many points. Man, that could have been that you pulled everybody and you've got, you know, third stringers in the fourth quarter. I mean, it could happen. I don't worry about that. Do you play smart? Do you play confident? Do you play well? The score will take care of itself, whatever. I mean, some things you can't really predict, turnover luck, stuff like that. But go play well. But one more time, if they lost to this team, I would be done with that group, all of them.
Enjoy your game day, everybody.
I'm just saying that it's not going to happen. I'm not worried about it. It's not going to happen. If it does, just so you know, we're done. We're done. That's an impossible thing. You can't, no.
No, listen, just leave it surface level. Now you're letting that take roots. You're letting that idea take roots. I just leave it surface level, cross that bridge if we need to, but I don't think so. That bridge is not on our route, sir.
No.
It is not on our route.
No, we're not going there. No. You're right. I got to leave it alone. I will do this. That was the defensive keys to the game. Somehow we got sidetracked to the point where I started talking about firing everybody with a UMass loss.
Fire them. Fire them all.
Well, and the problem is you wouldn't be able to, but you just have to be like, nope.
That bridge is the Sunshine Skyway, my man. Yeah. And we're using 95. There is no way. There is no way we need to be on that side of the state. No, sir.
Those were the defensive keys brought to you by our friends at Zaxby's. Yes, they support all of you on game day with deliciousness. I've got it here next to me. It's good stuff. Support those who support local businesses in FSU. That's been Zaxby's way of doing business for over 15 years. More Tallahassee Game Day in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Who's Hot, Who's Cold, brought to you by our friends at Berno Heating and Air Conditioning, a proud supporter of the Jeff Cameron Show and Tallahassee Game Day for many, many years. Our friends Berno Heating and Air Conditioning, BernoAC.com. Make sure you go check them out. They've been a great supporter for a very, very long time. Who's Hot, Who's Cold? Jordan Travis would be Who's Hot. He has looked great lately, in particular that North Carolina game. Easy breezy, ran the offense with great confidence. Was very assertive. There was even a flash or two, and just a couple, but it's progress, of comfort in the pocket, going through progressions, hitting a couple big throws. Some would say easy throws, but when you haven't been able to sit down in that pocket and kind of get acclimated and feel good about it and go through progressions, not without happy feet, that's a big deal to hit that crosser. I talked about it right after that game. I thought it was the biggest throw, and think about it. He made some big throws, and yet that was the one to me where I said, oh, look at that. We look like we had a passing game.
Yeah, the 11 straight completions, the 5 touchdowns. He was among the highest-graded quarterbacks across the country, highest-rated quarterbacks, however you want to look at it. All, you know, advanced metrics, the basic metrics, Jordan Travis was efficient as heck in North Carolina. He was hot. And also, I'd say Trayshawn Ward. Trayshawn Ward is among one of the highest-graded running backs in college football this season. Yeah. And if Jayshon Corbin is mending some bumps and bruises today, then I would think that Trayshawn Ward is going to lead the pack, at least in the first half, in terms of touches. The way he finished that game with that run where he breaks three and four tackles, that signaled everything you needed to know in one play about where Florida State was on that Saturday and where North Carolina was. One cared to be there, the other didn't. Trayshawn Ward always cares to be there. He bet on himself as a walk-on here in Tallahassee. He had offers to programs like Maryland, but he wanted to come here, roll the dice closer to home, and bam, look at it, man. He is somebody who is so much fun to watch.
He is, too, and he's very serious about putting in the work, putting in the time, putting in the study. He does all that. He is a committed kid, and you like to see kids like that rewarded. So, it's a hell of a play. That's an extra effort that we'd love to see. That's exciting. So, for me, that's a good choice. I do wonder, though, Tom, if even though he could be the guy that gets the bulk because they're nursing the Corbin injury, bumps and bruises. He's okay.
Right,
be worried.
Right.
But I don't know. I would just maybe make this the Lawrence Toa Feely Festival because I need I'm going to need Trayshawn Ward to be a star against Clemson.
Toa Feely Palooza after we get set. Well, yeah.
Yeah, you get up 21-0 or something, and it becomes Toa Feely's day.
Right. Well, listen, they loved him in preseason camp, and there were some detail plays that maybe didn't go his way. He's had limited opportunities of late, has Toa Feely. But, I mean, when we watch camp, practice for practice, 9 was a big part of what they wanted to do. So it's not like he's lost the ability. It's just you're looking for greater consistency. And today's an opportunity to get your name back in the fold for the final 5 games of the year, where you've got 4 critical ACC games and then Florida on the road. You get through the test today. You can earn some reps for yourself today. That would be the message, too, that I deliver to everybody across the board if you're not already a starter. Today is a day where you could earn more snaps. You could earn our trust. Now go out and go get it. And that's for Toa Feely, DJ Williams, and others in the running back backfield and running back room.
Thank you, Eric. Best game day coverage versus that other game day program. Go Noles. Appreciate you. Thanks for your contribution. Thanks for coming out yesterday to the Happy Hour show as well. It was good to talk to you. Albeit briefly, it was still nice. Always appreciate that. Yeah, man. I'll just again. This is a fun day. We get an opportunity to get excited for Toa Feely. By the way, circling back really quickly, 2 things for him. I think that has cost him some playing time. First of all, he's still slight. He's got to get bigger. So he's just not a guy that can really handle a lot of carries, I think, at this stage of his career. 2, he does try to bounce everything, and that is annoying. Ryan, I see you're alluding to it here. You say he needs to follow his blocks. Yes, he will try to bounce a lot because he's always been fast. And when you're fast, you see this with guys, especially guys early in their career, coming out of high school, they bounce everything. They think because in high school they got away with it. They bounced and they outran everybody and scored a lot of points. So they feel like that's what they should
do.
And
he can outrun people, but still.
It's college. Yeah. And a lot of times when you do that, there are other guys who are fast as well.
Well, and our scheme, given that we have a deficiency in the offensive line, it's playing better, but that doesn't mean that, you know, we could just road grade everybody. we're not there by any means. The way we draw up angles, if you deviate from where the lead blocker's going, well, we've given up a lot of space because we're trying to create this tunnel
those
by
angles, man. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if you bounce, you're in real trouble because it's not just one dude who's standing. There might be 2 or 3. So that's the problem. And there were some, you know, little moments there where it got frustrating. But the Syracuse game, I go back to that. It was a key moment. A 3rd down. He releases out into the flat.
Yep.
He's got to catch the ball, look it into his hands, turn upfield, go, and get a 1st down. And he did in a big moment. That set up a shot play for us. Might have been the Ward run for a touchdown against Syracuse. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
But it extended that drive. These are the little plays that you build on. These are the ones that we forget. I've come back to it.
They're winning plays. And Norvell talks about this
3rd and 8. Third and eight against North Carolina.
And they just straight up ran the ball.
Right.
And it's a design run. They played to who they wanted to be.
Right.
Who their identity was becoming and what they thought they could be. And then they executed it beautifully and they converted. You're right. These are the little plays that make up the overall bigger picture with a road win. I think it's important to circle those moments. It's like in a baseball game. The guy makes a tough turn on a double play to get you out of an inning, a potential big inning. And maybe it's only the 3rd or 4th inning. When you look back at a one-run game, those are the plays where you go, yep, it was that turn here, or it was that great catch here, or it was that executed slider away on 3-2 with the bases loaded. It was whatever that was. Florida State didn't make a lot of winning plays, Tom, for a long time.
Right.
They would make dumb plays, losing plays, plays that when we watch bad teams, you identify quickly why they're bad. That was us all the time. The North Carolina game, go all the way back. We've done a lot of that today. Second half Louisville game, carryover, find a way to win. The Syracuse game made a lot of bad plays there to go with the good plays. But when you had to get a stop, got to stop. When you had to execute a drive late, make a field goal, you did it. Okay, so then we were emerging. Then you go to Carolina. You jump off sides on a 4th down. In my head, in the first quarter, I'm going, really? We're still not beyond this? We were not emboldened by that win. Are we still this dumb? And then second quarter happens, game turns around, continued momentum, dominate the game, 35-7 run, beautiful. Still makes me smile thinking about that game because of all the winning plays
right.
And the overcoming of a couple of mistakes. And again, it was, I believe, the 4th game out of 5 that Florida State had fewer penalties than their opponent, didn't do anything crazy. And when officials weren't looking to call us for personal fouls by the sideline, we aren't committing them. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah, things have gotten cleaner, and there's still a lot of motion. We haven't stopped the motion in order to be cleaner with our formations and things like that. Yeah, that's another thing that you can look for today, a sign of maturity, is are your details sound enough that we don't have illegal man downfield, or we have somebody covered the line of scrimmage, or a bunch of false starts. Keep your head in the game. That's a focus. Pre-snap penalties tell you a lot about focus. And usually it's, you know, somebody might be flustered because you're playing an opponent and they know that they've got to almost cheat and get a good, you know, fire off the ball perfectly in order to win, like a tackle versus a defensive end type situation. But today's game, it's about, are you focused for the right reasons, which is, listen, the film didn't let you get complacent. It's all about your habits and what you've done during the week.
Jordan Young, over under, catch and a half today.
He's going over. He's, you know what, reading the Warchant practice reports of late, warchant.com, you can go to the Tribal Council every day when they allow us into practice, Tuesdays and Wednesdays of game weeks. Jordan Young's name has come up a little bit more. Today is a day for him. I'm not saying, you know, on the road at Clemson, Jordan Young's going to go for 5, 115, and 2 scores. I'm saying today, come on, if not now, when? Let's go, Jordan Young.
What a day. What a day, Tom, if it happens. The guy you've been touting for 3 years, can he do it? Can he make it happen? Woo! Tom says under. So he gets,
that's the safe bet, yes.
He gets two catches today?
I think I get plus 500 on that, but yeah.
I put it at 1.5. I mean.
So we don't list a cold, but we've got another group that's hot. If you don't mind me reading something really quick, it's a cool announcement. Zaxby's has been upgrading Noel fans and local heroes game day experience all season long. And today our friends at Zaxby's are proud to announce that for the remainder of this football season, they'll be giving their pair of 50-yard line seats to local heroes with the Guardian ad litem of the Big Bend.
Yeah,
people near and dear to our heart at the Jeff Cameron Show. Officially known as the Second Judicial Circuit Guardian ad litem program, our thanks to Zaxby's for their support of those who help local youth in our area. If you'd like to volunteer to help change the life of an undercared-for young person in our community, head to gal2.org. That's G-A-L, the number 2, .org. They could really use your help. So thank you to Zaxby's for elevating somebody's Saturdays for the rest of the season.
It's awesome, man. It's really awesome. And everybody knows, they've listened to this show for a long time, the work that the Guardian ad litem does. Good to remind them, though. And I always love getting paired with them and doing anything we can to help them, because they help kids. They advocate for kids who don't have that, who don't have somebody looking out on their behalf. So that's huge. And we will be forthcoming in the not-too-distant future telling you about the exact date for the bowling tournament. We're going to do it again this year.
Yes, we are.
I'm really excited to get back after it. Couldn't do it last year really because of COVID. So this is the year we're all, you know, getting back together, reacquainted on the bowling alley, a couple cold beers, and lofty expectations of a 140.
140 is the number we're setting,
well,
huh?
Well, typically we throw it somewhere in that general area, and I don't know. I mean, we've both gone well over.
Yeah.
We've also gone well under.
the best number that we see every year for that event is the amount of donations.
Crazy.
And if you talk about it for too long, it gets tough to talk some more.
Can't do it. I mention it, and then I start talking about it and thinking about how cool it is, and then I go, oh, okay, we're done here. Can feel it coming on. It's like when your hammy grabs you. Like, ooh, my heavy's got me.
One more rep for me ahead of the postgame show, because I got to do reads for our pals at teampaper.com who support the postgame show. I got to get my work in. Today is my day to get my reps in.
Get it in.
As this is a multifaceted final segment of the program, today's game predictions are brought to you by Lane's Medical Shop. With locations in Colquitt and Donaldsonville, Lane's Medical Shop offers all your medical supply needs. They even have delivery and emergency services available. Lane's Medical Shop, 229-758-9111. Tell them that the Jeff Cameron Show, warchant.com, Tallahassee Game Day, all those sent you there, and they will give you all a half off discount, 50% off at Lane's Medical Shop.
Good times. Good times. Prediction, huh? What'd we say? I said 58-10. I'm going to kind of stick somewhere in that neighborhood. 56-10, yeah. 58-10, 54-10, something like that.
Well, I had 52-10, so just, you know, give me the 52 real
keep
estate.
Hitting yeah, the,
right. Every even number.
Every number in the 50s and to 10. No, I'll stick with my original pick. I know that's lofty. Ooh, what a lofty expectation. What a goal. 58 points. Woo! Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Well, when we kick off at noon, let's see if we still believe it. You know, I was certain that we were going to drop 45, 50 plus against Jacksonville State, and it just didn't happen that way. I think this is a much more gettable game.
I think lesson learned.
I would hope so. And that's where, again, this is like, that's the hard juggling act, because I wouldn't blame the coaches for throwing the ball a hell of a lot more if you look at run-pass ratio, because you're trying to keep some people fresh. But also, you just kind of want to do what you do. We've only discovered what we do recently. So since it's a recent discovery, as in 2 weeks ago, maybe we continue that momentum. And that might keep the score down a little bit. If we run the ball a bunch, fewer possessions, you hit into the 40s, but you still feel good about the way the game played out.
Yeah, a lot of times we talk about the spirit of the rule or the law or whatever it is. Yeah, my 58-10 score could be in spirit, Tom. If, as long as it's lopsided, as long as it's a domination. Dictating terms, fumbles, a couple weird moments, whatever it might be. We decide to run more than I thought and just shorten the game. Yeah, okay. So if all of a sudden that's 37-7, okay, that's the same. It's relatively the same. It's in the spirit of an ass kicking. That's what I'm talking about. On homecoming, it's the spirit of an ass kicking.
That's right. All right.
So it should be.
Percentage chance that we win by 36 points or more.
Very high.
Very high.
Very high. I gave the points. I'm not in my, on the show I did. I feel good.
Okay. All right.
You don't like it? You don't want to do that? 35.5.
Well, I don't know.
Right?
See, the problem is when you don't have a ton of depth on this roster and you put the backups in, you might be susceptible to running afoul of the number.
Let's see. Good work out of you, Matthew. Good work out of you, Tom. Thanks to all of you here on the chat and for all of you who listened on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. We really do appreciate it. Thanks to all the sponsors as well, including our friends here at Zaxby's who feed us, which is good times. I feed you, too, for Tallahassee Game Day. Yeah, for all of us. Tallahassee Game Day. I'm Jeff Cameron. Be well, everybody. Go Noles.
Go get you some chicken fingers.